are kicking it off today. Forecast, we're preparing really for what this year may bring for our lives and trying to understand it, how to be ready. It's hard to be ready when we think about weather. You know, it's hard to be ready. We don't know what the weather's going to bring sometimes. They try to forecast it the best they can, but even the great forecasters sometimes struggle. But we have a saying in Florida anyways when it comes to the weather, and some of you have lived here a long time like me. We would say here in Florida when it comes to the weather, if you don't like the weather, just stick around about an hour in Florida because it could change at any moment. And some of you have seen that, you know, become a reality. Heck, here we are in the wintertime and, you know, it could be 80 degrees in the middle of winter, and then 2 days later it's in the 30s, and then back up to 80 again. In the summertime, you know, it could rain at any moment, so we have to be ready. And obviously, folks, we still got people coming in. Please make sure that you help us get them seated. You may have to move around a little bit to find seats, but we want to make sure that they get seated. Being prepared for the weather is difficult. Being prepared for what may happen in life is difficult as well. Let's be ready in the year 2025 for whatever changes may happen. You, in your life, may have some really surprising things take place that you had no idea this year it was going to happen. We could have health issues this year. We could have financial market issues. We could have, just in general, our own personal money situation. There could be career changes. Our friends may change. Some people we were counting on for years are not around, maybe they turn our back on us, or maybe some new friends come in to the picture in 2025. Maybe, you know, you may have a situation where your family is changing. There's additions in the home, or maybe some changes in your marriage that you're having to work through. All kinds of scenarios could present themselves this year to you in your life. What God wants you and I to do is to be ready that no matter what circumstances happen, no matter what chaos is going on in our lives, that we won't be bound by circumstances in life, that we'll be prepared, though, for what circumstances may actually take place. It is hard to predict our year. You can go to the psychics and pay money to them, but they're not going to get it right. You can try to look at your horoscope or your crystal rock or your, you know, gems and try to find answers. That all these things, they don't provide the real forecast. We know ultimately that God knows what's happening this year. God knows the plans. God knows the future. But for you and I, He tells you and I, be ready for what may take place. It's unpredictable, but we know this going into the year. Three things for certain are going to happen. You will have new problems this year. There will be new pressures on your life like never before this year. But there will also be possibilities presented to you in the coming year. What I want to do is look at a famous text. Jesus is talking in something of a parable. What are these stories to help us so that we can understand a little bit more? He delivers in a time of a parable. He starts talking about, hey, as God is doing something new in your life, you have to be prepared for it. He uses this term, he uses this word wineskins. And he talks about you need to have new wineskins to prepare for new wine. He's saying you don't want to put new wine in old wineskins. We got to put new wine in new wineskins. What are wineskins? Well, you know that during that time, some of you probably already know this, but during that time, of course, in the ancient world, we didn't have recyclables. There were no plastic bottles. There were no, you know, metal containers being utilized in that kind of way. What they did when they needed something like a canteen or a little canister to carry something, they would take animal skins, they would sew those skins together, and they would put the liquid or wine or whatever it may be inside that container. Now, those containers and those animal skins would get old over time. You can imagine. They would get brittle. They'd get hardened. They would start to deteriorate, and they would develop leaks and problems. And so what Jesus is going to tell us is that, hey, if you want something new and to prepare for new, get new wine skins to put new wine in. If you, in fact, put new wine in old wine skins, what we know about new wine is it will ferment. which produces gases, it could literally explode an old wineskin container. So again, we want to make sure whatever new is happening, Jesus is saying, you prepare fully and completely for what may develop. And so in Luke chapter 5 and verse 38, here's what he says, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. What he's saying is that if you and I in our lives, we're going to deal with new situations, you better have some new structure. If God is trying to reveal something new in your life, are you prepared for that new thing? Maybe you get new relationships this year. The old way of relating may not work. And so we're going to be prepared to relate in a whole new way. You may get a job this year. And the old things you learned at your old way of job, old job setting, may not be workable in the new job. And so you may need to get some new job skills to prepare for a new job, right? That's what, this in essence, this is what Jesus is helping us see. Like, all these new things that God wants to do in your life, you have to be ready. You have to be prepared. What are new wineskins for you and I in 2025? Changing the way that we think may be important for this year. The way that you act, the way that you respond, I mentioned before, the way that you relate to people, the way that you talk to people, the way that you listen to people, the way that you respond to situations in your life. It may have worked well for you last year. It may have worked well for you the last several years, but it may not be good for you going into this year. Being willing to be prepared, something new may come my way. Will I be ready, or am I going to rely on all of the old? How will we succeed in all of this? At the end, in the end of the day, we have to develop on the inside to be ready. I shared last week with our church, some of you were here, I shared last week that, hey, in our lives, anytime God's trying to do a great work in us, he's going to try to do it at the level of the inside. It's not about the things this world looks at. This world looks at facades. They look at the external. They look at things like appearance and materialism and all of that stuff. That's what the world looks at. But when God wants to get involved in your life and in my life, he works at the inside. He works at the character level. He starts working with things that need to be developed and changed on the inside. And I'm going to give you in our time together three great character developments for you in your life to be ready for whatever comes your way in this next year as we try to be prepared. I put in your notes, what can I do to be prepared, to prepare in 2025? Now listen, when you come in, we give you these notes. I see some of you have them. These notes are for you to write in, to take notes, and to take them home and to study. Take these as notes to get ready for this new year. I know some of you love to draw on them. And then you do something that's next level. You put them in the offering bucket for us. I don't know if you think we're collecting art here, but like, no, these are for you, for your own spiritual journey. So take those notes out. Let's follow along. Here's what I put in your notes. One great character development to get us ready for 2025. Forecast this. There will be new problems this year, and they will require creativity. Let me give you some bad news first. You are going to have more problems in 2025. You just will. Let me give you some good news. They probably won't be the same problems as last year. There'll be a whole set of new problems. Congratulations. That's not good news either. But the good news is God wants you to get ready for those problems. Again, he wants to prepare you. New problems are going to require new solutions, but to discover new solutions, you may need to invoke a bit of creativity in your life. Proverbs 18 and 15 says this, the intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. New ideas, having an open mind, not a closed mind, but an open mind. If you're going to approach this year and be ready for what may be new, what may take place, again, it's an attitude shift, it's a mind shift that says, I am willing to commit to whatever new way may be needed. We put so much energy, I think, sometimes into keeping from changing. Somebody shared with me a list of the 60 most common responses that we dish out when we are suggested a change to make. And I'm not going to share all 60 with you, but I'll share some of them with you. And I think some of you might be able to relate. In fact, some of you may have said these words I'm about to share. Some of you may have heard them from others. Some of them are said at job settings when change is required. I've heard them in church settings when a church is looking to kind of make some changes. I've heard some of these things as well. Let me share these with you. We tried it that way before and it didn't work. So we don't want to change. Our place is different, and so we're not like you, and so we don't need to change. It costs too much money. We don't have enough time. We've never done it before. It's against company policy. It's not our problem. You're right about the change, but we're not ready for that. It isn't in the budget. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Hey, let's form a committee to talk about it. Let's sleep on it. It's too much trouble to change. It feels impossible. Or we've always done it the same way before. Why change? Again, I think we put a lot of energy into coming up with excuses as to why we don't want to change, more than, like, what if we put our energy of trying to not change, put it actually into wanting to actually experience a change in our life? It will require you to have a level of creativity to be invoked in your life going into this year. You come at me and say, well, Pastor, thank you. I'm just not creative. I'm just not a creative person. Get that junk out of here. You are creative because you are made by a creative God. He is a wild, creative God. He can make all kinds of things, and you are made in His image, and you have creativity in you. Again, it's having that mindset and that spirit to dig into some of that creativity moving forward. I love this translation of Ephesians 4:23. It says this, your attitudes and your thoughts must be constantly changing for the better, a godly change for the better. You must be a new and different person, holy and good. Changing, as God is revealing, being open, your attitude, your mindset for whatever He may reveal. You're going to have to deal with some of this negativity, some of this grouchiness that sometimes we put out there when it comes to changing. I heard an interview with a 105-year-old man. The interviewer said to him, man, 105 years old, I bet you've seen a lot of changes in your life. And he said, yes, and I've been against every one of them. That's that, like, sphere, like, my goodness, you know, it's the two caterpillars having a discussion as they look up at the butterfly, and the one says to the other, oh, you'd never get me in that thing. Well, no, change is happening. Will we be ready? Will we be prepared? In 2025, you cannot have a hardening of your attitude if you want to keep going, if you want to keep growing, if you want to keep developing. Attitudes, been said, attitudes are like diapers. Every once in a while, they need change or they start to stink up the place. We can get in this low, messy spirit mentality and it starts to get toxic. It keeps us from expanding in our own spiritual growth. It starts to affect people around us as well. You're going to need new attitudes, new ways of looking at things, new solutions for the new year. Sometimes our attitude can make the easiest of all tasks very difficult. You could go into work and have the simplest of day ahead of you, but your negative attitude will make it a long and ugly day. I was reading this poem about our negative, grouchy attitudes. I'll read it to you. It says this, what good did it do to be grouchy today? Did your blurriness drive any trouble away? Or your surliness drive any trouble away? Did you cover more ground than you usually do because of the grouch that carried you? If not, what's the use of the grouch or a frown if it won't smooth your path or bring your trouble down? If it doesn't assist you, it isn't worthwhile. Your work may be hard, but do it with a smile. It's saying, like, hey, our grouchiness can take us to levels that are unnecessary going forward. In 2025, if we get our attitude right, here's what we'll discover. I can't control what happens to me this year, but I can control my response. I can't control where the winds are blowing in the year 2025 in my life, but I can set my sails to deal with whatever winds and headwinds come my way. It's the proper response coming out of the proper attitude, coming out of this proper mindset. For some of you, you're new to the faith. And you're thinking, like, how do I be creative about being ready for a new year? Let me tell you one thing you may need to be creative about. You don't study your Bible. You've never studied your Bible, whatever it may be. You may have to develop creativity in your schedule to figure out how to give time to God each morning to study God's Word or at night. You may have to be creative like you've never done before. Like, how am I going to get quiet time? it's going to take some thinking about how you work through this. For some of you, you're new to church. You're going to have to get creative about making church a priority every week. And not, you know, because there's all kinds, we're in Florida, there's all kinds of things you can do on a weekend. But to say, you know what, I'm going to get creative in my schedule. Things that I got going on to make sure that I'm keeping God's house a high priority going forward so that I can be ready for whatever may come my way in the year 2025. Just so you know, as a church, many years ago, we got creative in how we could reach our community. We added Saturday night church. I don't know if you know this, but we have two services, of course, on Sunday. You're at one of them. But we have the same two experiences on Saturday night. It's not quite as crowded as this either. And so you could come be a part of that. We certainly have hundreds of people coming on Saturday, but we put Saturday nights on the table to get creative so that we heard people say, I can't come on Sunday, I've got to work. And so we developed a creative opportunity to say, here's two experiences on Saturday night. That was born out of what can we do more to bring solutions to the table. The old is not going to work. And so we provided that for our community. I'm just saying we have to get creative in sometimes our dedication to the Lord. Some of you have never been in one of our small groups that are launching this coming week. And so you're going to have to get creative. You got kids and babysitters and whatever it may be. Somebody take care of the kids and figure out, like, how am I going to work my schedule so I can make sure I'm in one of the weekly small groups that the church has to offer. Some of you are longtime believers, and you have sunk into some old ways of operating, and you need some new creativity this year to experience God more in a way that you've never experienced Him before. The old, for any of us, may not work this next year. How can we be in position for new opportunities, new solutions to the problems that we may face? How can we work through them together? I put this in your notes. Here's the second thing. Forecast this. There will be pressure this year in your life. Pressures coming from all different places. And those pressures will require conviction. I'm standing on conviction. All right, we live in a culture today that's trying to push Christians off of their convictions, trying to tell us that though the Bible has been 100% true all our lives, like it's not real, it's not applicable, it's not good any longer, it's too old, nobody wants to follow the Bible anymore. We live kind of in this culture, and we watch, and I see, it hurts to see, but even Christians, of course non-Christians, caving day in and day out to culture. And they're just not standing on any conviction any longer. At the beginning of every new year, they come up with podcasters and influencers and, you know, these people that list on the news media. They'll say, here's the top trends for 2025. Here's what's out. You know, here's the old. Here's what's out. Here's what's new for the next year. Let me tell you, I am so thankful I don't live my life that way. Ooh, what are the influencers and podcasters telling me to do this next year? Like, oh my goodness, we're here today, gone tomorrow, trends, good grief. Like, how could you live like that? And yet, so many people literally, they don't even see it, but they live kind of in the wind, right? They're not convicted of God's word. They're not living in conviction. They're just doing their own thing in life. They're floating from one thing to the next. Romans 12:2, a very famous scripture about being transformed in the renewing of your mind and how you think going forward. It says this in this translation: don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake your whole attitude of mind, making it change. See that it's changed. Don't drift from what the world does from one day to the next, and you're in the club this week, but now you're not next week, and this trend is important, but not next year. Like, don't live like that. Live with a mindset for the things that God wants to reveal in your life. You will be pressured this year to cave. Maybe it's in further materialism. You're pressured to live greed, go get more, and go get more, and go get more. You'll be pressured this year related to things related around sexuality. You'll be pressured this year to lower your standards. You'll be pressured this year with substances and alcohol. You'll be pressured this year with key decisions and choices to go the wrong direction in life. And so we have to decide, am I going to stand firm on the things that are better and best and greater for my life, the things that God is revealing to me? I've said this over the years, and I didn't come up with it. Somebody else did. This famous line: if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything or everything. And sadly, this is happening in large numbers, American culture here in East Pasco, people falling for anything. I can tell you this right now. If you're not standing on conviction of God's word for principles in your life, you are floating in the wind. You just are. You don't see it. You don't know it. No one would admit that. I'm a floater. No one admits that. But you just are. You're caught up in culture. You're caught up in living the way culture tells you and I to live. I heard someone say coming into this year, 2025 may well be the last hope of the American family. Never before has there been pressure to fracture the American family at this level. It's the greatest ever before to fracture the American family. And yeah, this is about people saying, okay, what am I standing on? What are my values? What do I hold firm to? In my family, my kids, when they grew up, they knew our values. They knew our convictions. Do your kids, does your household, those of you that have kids in your home, does your family know your family convictions? The things ultimately that God has revealed to the household, that these are the things that we stand on. Do the parents, as parents, can you share your convictions that God has revealed to you for your life? If you haven't taken time to decide that, I think that's a great thing to start doing in the new year. Like, God, what is it that we say, of all things, this is kind of, we're like, this is the hill we're going to die on. These things for our home and for our family. That's conviction. Listen, more than ever before, our culture needs men and women who live with conviction. We don't need any more wishy-washy men. And we don't need any more floating in the wind women. We need people that are digging in to the convictions for their life. We need people who are willing to say, just because everybody's doing it, I'm not doing it. Just because people tell me it's cool doesn't mean it's healthy for my life. Just because people tell me it's right, I know what God's word says, I know it's not healthy. We need people who say, you're not squeezing me into your mold. I'm following God going forward. Without God's truth in your life, you really don't have convictions. Where does the strength come to live a life of conviction for God? Where does it come from? Well, you're reading God's word. God's word is revealing truth for your life. And then what you start to do is you start to take steps born out of what God has revealed to you in your life. And when God shows up, right, we call this faith steps, or experiencing the presence of God in your life. God says, here's a step for your life. You take the step, God shows up, and you say, my goodness, God is real, he is powerful, he is amazing. I tested him and he responded, God, you're a great God. And we see that and we experience that and we go, man, if I can stand for you on that, I can stand for you on this, and I can stand for you on that. So God's word, and then taking steps with God, his presence becomes real in our life, and we get more deeper convictions on how to live. Isaiah 40:31, those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. Psalm 19:7, God's word gives you and I new strength. Strength to stand, strength to live. Paul was going through a very tough time in the scriptures. He was dealing with so many trials, and he wrote about the difficulty of those times in his life. And in 2 Corinthians 1:8, he says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. He said, we were under great pressure. We were under the greatest pressures of life. But what did we do in that time? Instead of making it about all in my strength, we turned to God, and God showed up, and he did amazing things. And now we stand even stronger for God because he showed up during those times. We start to test God's ability to show up in our life over and over again. But pressure requires this type of conviction. When you start to experience him more and more, you will develop it. A conviction is something that you are willing to die for. And I hope you discover these in your life as we head into the new year. What are some other ways to develop and have influence over your convictions in life? Of course, God's word and the presence of God, but I put this in your notes. Other influencers over conviction in your life are, I put this, the church. In my early years, when I came to know Jesus Christ, I hadn't, you know, learned hardly anything about the Bible. I was starting, but I would go to church, right? And the church would begin, like, I would hear the pastor preach things like today, and I would start to, like, okay, look what God's word says about that. My goodness, like, I want that for my life. And I would surround myself with people who were wanting the same thing in life, and we were kind of flowing together in the local church. I would be strengthened. I'd have a tough week. The pressures of the world would have been upon me. But I'd get to church, and I'd be a part of my local church, and others were inspiring me, and the word of God and the worship time, like, it inspired me. And so I was flowing in that time in the early church, and by the way, in my early church years, and by the way, I've been immersed deeply now for 24 consecutive years in the church. And all that continues to do is to continue to strengthen me, to continue to empower me, to continue to build godly conviction in my life. We need that for our homes. We need that for our lives. We need that type of conviction developing for our children as well. Maybe some of you need to kind of develop these convictions in your life. Being a part of the local church helps you begin and grow in that journey as a believer. It starts to strengthen you. Your kids are in the kids' ministry, and they're being strengthened. Your students are coming to our youth night on Wednesday nights, and they're being strengthened as well. Be a part of that growing conviction for their life. I am so saddened. So many times I watched throughout East Pasco and beyond, saddened watching so many of our young people that have no conviction for their life. It hurts to watch. And by the way, where do they get no conviction for their life? Their parents live without conviction. And so, of course, the kids live without conviction. It's so hurtful to see a new generation being raised up that way. We need parents who will also help come alongside, take the lead role and develop that conviction in their kids. We try to do our part here at the church, but parents embracing this as well. Parents are getting the simplest questions from their kids when they come home from school. Am I a boy or a girl? And they can't even answer it. It ought not be that way. Godly conviction. What are you standing on? This is a great year to start developing that in your life. I remember when I was early in the church and the pastor shared with me Jeremiah 29:11, that God had plans, hope, future for me in my life. And man, that started to spur me on and give me strength and give me courage, and it developed, and it's kind of flowing from all of that and through all of the years. I never knew as I entered a year in my life what the future was going to hold for me, but I knew the one who held the future, and I was getting to know him, and I was growing in that. I can tell you, for 24 straight years in my life, though I didn't know what the future was holding, I have not lived one day in my life with any level of hopelessness. Not at all. I've always had hope. The church was a part of spurring that on, and then I developed more God's word, and the church continued to spur that on in my life. It's an integral part of the Christian journey. And then I put this in your notes, something I talk about all the time around this time of year, and probably about five times throughout the year. Sometimes our wineskins are getting new friends. Our new wineskins, the old wineskin friends, the old containers of friends, aren't going to work for the new year. It's not that you want to turn your back on them. It's like you are trying to experience something new in your life, and they don't want any part of it. And so now you may have to make some changes in how that affects you. It's going to affect you this year. And so, okay, they have pressures they're going to put on you as well. And if it's unhealthy for your life, you have to reexamine that. And again, if you're new to our church, you've picked the best time to be new at our church. It's not just a new year. Three times a year, we have a new round of groups taking place. And just this weekend, right now, new groups are starting in our church. And you can be a part of those new groups. Now, I know many of you know what groups are. Let me just share for those who don't know what our groups are. I tell this church all the time, if you only come on the weekends, you're only experiencing half of what we do. The other half happens throughout the week. You came here this weekend, you're sitting here, congratulations, you've seen what half of our church is. The other half goes on, all these little groups we have during the week, they meet in different homes, different places all over the community, different days of the week, different times of the day, co-ed groups, men's groups, women's groups, dozens and dozens and dozens, probably over 100 by the time you break it all down, meeting in all these different places all throughout the week. And it's about 10, 15 people gathered together that go sometimes, you know, 7, 8, 10 weeks, and they have this time of study. You don't need to know anything about the Bible to join one of our groups. You can know a lot about the Bible and join one of our groups. And so we have people right now in our church signing up for one of these groups. And I want to challenge you, whether you're new to our church or you've been here a long time, take that step to say, hey, I'm going to be connecting in one of these groups in this new year. I'm going to get creative with my schedule. I'm going to make sure I'm growing in my godly convictions, and so I'm ready for the pressures in life. Groups and getting right people around you help in that journey. Here's the third thing in your notes. Forecast this. New possibilities will require courage. There will be, all right, I talked about problems and pressures already. But here's the good news. There are going to be great possibilities ahead for you this year. I believe that for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, I believe that for my life. And I hope you believe that for your life, because I believe God's got great possibilities ahead for you in the year 2025. I look at all the possibilities right now for my life and I go, my goodness, what a time to be alive. But I won't get to experience those possibilities if I don't take the steps and express some courage in order to experience it. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, you came here today, you want something new, I want it to be a new me for the new year. It's just going to be the same you this year if you think you came in here and you're going to get it by osmosis. You got to leave here and you got to decide you're going to take your own steps of courage, what needs to happen so that you can experience the new possibilities going forward. Hosea 10:12, plow new ground for yourselves. Plant righteousness and reap the blessing that your devotion to me will produce. It's time for you to turn to me, God says, your Lord, and I will come and pour out a blessing on you. Sign me up for that. I want that. Who doesn't want to be more blessed, you know, in 365 days? Always this time of year, it's a new year, sometimes I'll talk about, hey, let's look at where we want to be in 1 year. All right, and so if in another year you want to harvest something great for your life, it starts by the seeds you're planting now. And so it's common, I'll say this here at our church, okay? So where you're going to be in 1 year is determined by what you do today. It's just the way this thing works, you know, outcomes. So you want something better for your family, you're going to cultivate new choices today. You want something better in your financial situation, it's better choices starting today. You want something better for the way you're raising your kids or for your marriage, it starts by what you do today. You do it today, outcomes happen down the road. So we're sowing, you know, and then we're reaping the harvest later. In the end, though, we look at Hosea 10, and Hosea 10 is telling us, here's what we're going to do. We're going to focus on understanding that we've got to cultivate, literally said this in the text, plow, cultivate new ground. What is he saying there? Don't go back to the old ground. Don't go plow the old ground. Don't do the same thing you've always done. What worked last year is fine. But in order for the new opportunities to be experienced, you may have to plow some new ground. You may have to step out on faith. You may have to have the courage to go all the way out to the end of the limb. But guess what? At the end of the limb, go all the way out on the limb, that's where the fruit is. And so we're saying, okay, God, like, you're moving me to this new opportunity, this new missional work, or this new calling, or this new leadership, or this new step, whatever it may be, for my home, for my family, for my marriage, you're calling me out, and I'm going to take those steps, and what those steps are going to look like is me seeking a new ground to cultivate, not the old one. Again, we're talking about being ready for a new year, and being ready for a new year requires new wine skins. The old won't work. So many people miss this because when they're presented with the opportunity to experience real change and possibility for their life, they get scared, it's too risky, and they just stay back in what they've always known. Pretty much everybody in this room has been alive the last 10 years. You've lived the last 10 years of your life. But some people have lived the last 10 years of their life, and they're not any more mature than they were 10 years ago. They're still in the same flow as they've always been. Some of you have lived the last 10 years, but it really wasn't 10 years. It was the same year 10 times over again. You just kept on doing it over and over, the same thing over and over. No, new ground for new possibilities. It reminds me of a story about a biologist who did a study. He was studying caterpillars, and he put a potted plant, in the middle of this, you know, was a plant that was produced these leaves. It was very favorable for the caterpillars to eat. And so he took a bunch of caterpillars and he lined them on the rim of that pot, all the way around, front to back, all the way around, because it was completely filling the entire rim of the plant. And he studied them over a period of a week. And what he noticed is they went and followed each other front to back. They followed around that rim for an entire week. They just kept on going on the same circle. Now, the food they needed was very close. It was right there, but they just kind of stayed in this little circle and just kept on going. After a week, they got exhausted and they starved to death. And yet, the food for the future was so close. They just kept going in circles. And I would submit to you that for some of you, this is the story of your life, whether you want to admit it or not. You've been kind of going around the same circle over and over again. And what God is revealing in Hosea 10 is that, no, if you'll seek new ground this year, you'll discover new opportunities as you move forward. So many people are doing the same old thing, doing the same old circles time in and time out. Let's go back to Hosea 10, though. Here's what it said. Let's look at it again. There it is. Plow the new ground for yourselves. Plant righteousness. We're digging into the things of God. And what will happen? You will then reap the blessing of your devotion to God. That there is a blessing that awaits. That's the opportunity. I dare you this year in your life, moving forward, to do something for God you've never done before. I dare you this year to get off the bench and get in the game. I dare you this year to get out of your circular flow and find out what new may develop. I dare you to make your life count in a way you've never done before. Isn't it time? You say, I'm going to step out on that and I want to start experiencing the blessings that come from a life like that. God says, I want to bring blessing to your life, but in order to encounter it, there's going to be something new that has to happen. Now, what could stop that? Well, I guess laziness. You come in and you hear me talk, but you don't want to do anything. I think another great blocker, barrier to people actually doing what I'm just sharing, it's people who think their past is so messed up, God could never bless them. And every weekend at our church, I deal with people who would say that. They may not want to say it, but they think that. And I just want to say to you, like, if your mindset is God could never bless me because of what I did, because of the mistakes that I've made, because of the choices that you don't know, Pastor, all the things that I've done, here's what it says in Isaiah 43. Don't cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. God says, watch, look, I'm trying to do a new thing. Don't you see the new thing that I'm trying to do in your life? It's not about being dwell in the past, the problems, the hurts. Somebody hurt your feelings, you have damaged relationships, difficulties in life, failures, tragedies. Don't cling to the past. Don't dwell on the past. The reason that Jesus came is so that you wouldn't live there, so that you would discover what could be new for your life. And he's wanting to reveal that, I think, to so many of you right now. Another reason why somebody would say no to this is because they consider themselves a spiritual hoity-toity. They've been a believer for 30 years, and I don't need any more blessings, and I don't need to take any more steps, and I've done this and experienced this with God. Who in the world in their right mind would say that? Knowing that in 2025, you've been a believer for 30 years, he still wants to knock your socks off this year with more blessing. You don't sit back and say, oh, I've experienced enough. I hear this from people sometimes. They'll go, at our church, we need to go deeper, Pastor Gary. Well, check it out, bro. That's not on me, that's on you. And for some of you, the reason you're stagnant on your spiritual journey is because you haven't taken a deep step of faith in a long time. And that's how you encounter God continually in your life. You don't just stay in the same place. And so there's some longtime believers here. It's been a while for you. I came to know Jesus 24 years ago. on that day, I'll never forget that day, when I said yes to Jesus. But I don't live in that same place 24 years ago. I have taken continual steps on my journey to grow and know more about the things of God. And so I want to continue to do that. And I hope those of you who are longtime believers, you're not just kind of sticking to things of the past and the old revelation in your life. You're looking for new. There will be problems this year that could seem overwhelming, but if you'll be ready, it's not going to overwhelm you. They're not going to take you down. There will be pressures that will require godly conviction to advance on. There will be beautiful new possibilities for your life, but it will take courage to experience them. This newness that God wants to reveal to us is available to us. It's outlined in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. And this new life we take as God reveals to us more and more. As I've come so that you may have life and life to the fullest, and we discover it each and every day. By the way, as I look at that text, that's a reminder of why people are baptized. Some of you may know that people get baptized, but you may not know why. They do it as a public expression of what Jesus has done in their heart. My old life was this, but now it's buried and I'm raised to new life in Jesus Christ. This is literally why we call it being born again. I had a physical birth on the day that I was born into this world, but I had a spiritual birth that was made forgiveness of my sin, a relationship with God, and now I have new life. The slate has been wiped clean. The chalkboard has been erased, and now I have new life in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism reflects. And I just want to tell you that amongst us right now, we have people in this church that are here with us in this setting. You said yes to Jesus Christ at Christmas at Newalk, and you are ready. Your next step is to be baptized. By the way, let's cheer on those people that are with us that said yes to Jesus at Christmas at Newalk. We've got a baptism coming up in just a couple of weeks. We'll have it on a Saturday and on a Sunday. If you know that that's your next step because you've said yes to Jesus Christ, there's a place on the back of your Connect card, the little card you got when you came in. It says, I want to be baptized. Check that. Drop it in the bucket. We'll send you some information this week helping you understand about baptisms. We had kids at Christmas at Newalk say yes to Jesus. Maybe they've talked to you about it. You want them to be baptized. There's a kids' faith class. They'll tell you more about that at the end of our time together. For the kids to learn and be taught a little bit more, help them understand what baptism is to make sure that they're ready for that journey. And so this opportunity is coming for us to say, okay, what is my next step? There's a card on your seat. And it lists all the next steps, the smorgasbord, the buffet, that New Walk offers in the new year for you to take another step in your walk with God. And so many more that God may reveal to you personally that aren't even on that list. You have opportunity to just, God, what are you revealing to me in my life? There's a QR code on that card of resources for the new year as well. You can scan that on your camera, open up the link that's on there, and you can see some of those resources as well for the year 2025. As we let God renew us, I'm reminded of Romans 7 and 6. Now then, you can really serve God. Not in the old, going through the motions, circular way that you've kind of been doing things, following kind of the same set of rules for your life, but no, in a new way, discovering more that God wants to reveal to you in your life. Let me pray for you now. Lord, thank you for our time. And there's probably some longtime believers right now. Maybe, God, you're pressing on their heart about new ground for the new year, new opportunities, new things for their family, new things for their relationships, new things for their marriage, new things for their life, next steps in leadership or next steps in serving and growing, whatever it may be, God, it's going to be new ground, new opportunities, and new blessings. What a promise. There's new believers here. New steps, being baptized, getting connected, being a part of groups, going to growth classes to learn more, new steps classes to grow in their spiritual journey. Father, new opportunities, new ground this year for the new believers in the room, new wineskin opportunities. And then I do believe amongst us watching online right here in our setting, there are people, you joined us today, and you're not a believer, and you came for the food and the fun outside, and I don't blame you. But the reality is, you're in that circular flow, and you've lived the last 10 years, but it was 1 year 10 times over. Same thing. And you know you need something new in your life. It's not going to happen through the horoscope, through the psychic. It's not going to happen through some other new age movement. It comes through a new life that can only be found with God. And it can only be found when you're forgiven of your past and your sin. And Jesus did once and for all that on the cross. He paid a price. It was required payment for the sins of humanity. He paid that price on the cross for every human being and everybody in this room, for the forgiveness of sin, that for all who would trust and accept the gift that God gave through his one and only son, Jesus, that they would have forgiveness and have a relationship with God and have a new life, have the slate wiped clean. For some of you, this is the decision you need to make, receiving God's forgiveness and coming into a relationship with God, and you can do that today. You're not going to know all the answers and all the things and all the Bible today, but you're going to begin today. You're just going to surrender your life, bending a knee in your heart. I'm not going to make you come up here. I'm not coming out there. Just right where you're seated, you can say, God, I surrender. I've tried it my way. I am done. God, I want to know your way for my life. Receive me into the family. Forgive me of my sins. I trust in the gift of your son, Jesus. I'm ready to move forward today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.